Thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com, always there for us since the 1980s, doing suspension work, doing motor work. Tell me, listen to Pulp. Save some money with Racetech. Privateer proven, motor work, suspension parts, springs, all of that. Racetech.com. Tell me, listen to Pulp. They'll give you a discount. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX Podcast, Dallas Supercross Review. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Cooper Webb winning the race with Fly Racing gear. Yet again, that's two in a row for Cooper Webb. Use the code PULPMX when you check out at flyracing.com to save. Evo gear is my favorite stuff. It's really stretchy, fits really good. It's got the BOA closure system. The Formula helmet's amazing. Please check that out as well. Formula helmet's got next level safety features, EPS, cone head stuff, as well as the Rion technology. If you just read up on it on Fly Racing's website. If you want the safest, quietest, best helmet out there, check out flyracing.com and use the code PULPMX to save with those guys. Thank you, Renthal, renthal.com, for coming on board the show. Factory Honda, Monster Energy Kawasaki, Red Bull KTM, using Renthal bars. The lock-on grip is out. It is selling really, really well, and it's available for all models and all of the patterns and all of the comforts of a normal regular grip from Renthal. And renthal.com, use it and check it out. Thanks to those guys, bars, sprockets, chains, all of that. Maxxis tires as well. Love the guys at Maxxis. Great mountain bike tires, as you know. They absolutely kill it in mountain bike tires. So if you listen to this and you have a mountain bike, get some Maxxis tires. And that's my dog, Augie, barking in the background in case you can hear. And Maxxis.com, Freddie Noren, PRMX guys, using Maxxis tires to put it in main events. Get top 10s as well. Maxxis.com for more information. McGrath developed the latest tires, and, man, they're pretty good. Chris Kiefer's got a test of them on PulpMX.com as well. So thank you to those guys for coming on board. Motorsport.com, we'll tell you more about later. But let's get Weege and JT on the line to talk Dallas and more. Thanks for listening. On to the show. All right, everybody, let's talk some Dallas Supercross here, Arlington Triple Crown, with the usual compadres here on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast, celebrating another Cooper Webb win for the folks at Fly Racing, by the way. First up, he is calling remotely. On his way to the airport. You heard him in the booth last night with the RC. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, this is really weird. Yes, I'm going to your house, but doing a podcast on my way to the airport.
Yeah.
To go to your house to do your show, but doing a podcast for you now. It's
yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, thank you for that, by the way. Thanks for this extra effort. Really appreciate it. Also on the line from Fly Racing is Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. Yeah, we're seven rounds down. We're almost a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, lots to get into when it comes to this race, of course, and a tough track. Definitely one that I had riders telling me about all throughout the day and the way it shaped up and everything else. And we got the Yamaha sweep with Webb and Hayden. I guess first up, though, I heard this complaint in Detroit, and I wasn't there, but I did notice it on TV, but this week I noticed it again. Can we back down on the fireworks and opening ceremonies?
Can we just open the roof a little bit? That would probably fix it.
Okay. Can we do something? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
It's a little – I heard it last week, but I wasn't there. This week was bad too. Like, geez. I don't know. I mean, isn't that roof – is that roof open?
I mean, they're not doing anything different. They just
– It seems like it.
they're not. I mean, the roof wasn't open because I think it's been colder than they wanted it to be, but I don't think, like, the fireworks show hasn't really changed, if you haven't noticed.
It's been a tradition. I feel like we've had heat races like this for 20 years.
It seems seems more extreme. I don't know why.
I just think it's a ventilation thing. That's my take.
Can we ventilate?
I don't think anything's changed other than burying ventilation things.
Well, we need to ventilate because it's tough. When you watch it back, like, you can definitely see the smoke there. And then, dude, obviously the press box in Dallas is pretty high. It's not easy to see the riders anyways. But, like, I was like, who is that? Like, I can't really see the smoke. I don't know what's going on. I got to look at live timing. It just seemed extreme.
I've raced races in Germany where I couldn't see anything other than where I was going.
Yeah.
Like, if I was trying to find, like, who was behind me or anything like that, like, thankfully I was winning or whatever, but I couldn't see anything. Like, I'm not saying this is good. I've seen this lots of times across many different races and places, but I think this particular thing is just where are we and is the ventilation exactly what they want or not?
Right.
Because, like, if we're in outdoor stadium, you'd never know.
Shout out Chase Curtis from Swap Moto. He's in hospital still in Dallas. He broke his leg really badly. I heard he broke the other one too. I don't know if it's one leg or both, or one's chipped and one's back. He definitely broke one leg, and Henry Miller got out of hand. He missed the net and hit Chase Curtis. So bummer to see that happen. Poor Chase Curtis. So get well soon. All right. Last week I started off just what the fuck. Chase Sexton. I'm not going to do that. Let's give Cooper Webb. Let's start with Cooper Webb. The 6-1-1 got the overall, had a little help from Chase on the last lap. But, it was a tough track, and he didn't ride anything that special in the first qualifier, or the first Triple Crown, I should say. He rode all right. He just kind of didn't get a start and stayed there. And then, the next two, he took off, and man, he was really good. I thought Kenny was going to get it at one point. I thought Sexton had it at one point. And in the end, this is exactly what Cooper Webb does. This is what, he's really good in Dallas anyways. I don't really put a lot of stock into that per se, but this is what Cooper Webb does. He has to be rubbing his hands together. This is perfect.
Yeah, and I mean, even he went out of his way to say in every forum he could find that this was more being lucky than good. I mean, he literally used those words in the post-race show with the great Justin Brayton and Adam Cianciarulo. So he knows, like, even his ability to engineer a win, this was kind of even the reach of that. Like, Sexton blew this one. But the bigger picture of how the last 3 weeks and the series as a whole has gone, how he has the point lead, how he has all this confidence, how he probably has no fear, and like you're saying, is probably rubbing his hands together, that is exactly how it puts together. This one, extreme even for his way of engineering it, but the big picture is this is exactly how Cooper Webb scripts seasons when he wins titles.
Yeah, exactly right, JT. I mean, he had to chase down Justin Cooper in one of them. I don't think he was too worried about that. The other one, he had to get Chase made a mistake, and that's just like he rode really well, obviously going 6-1-1, but. Like, I would make a case that maybe he wasn't the best guy, but it didn't really matter.
Yeah, the first one wasn't very good.
No.
Like, he really couldn't move forward. He didn't look like he had a lot of pace. I was actually thinking, like, it's wrong here. Because he just didn't look great, you know? He couldn't really make passes. And I don't know if they changed the bike a little bit or he just kind of, snapped out of it or got angry. That can sometimes happen. But to both of your points, yeah, this is what he does. I was kind of making notes over the weekend or whatever, and I wrote, like, he might be the most opportunistic racer in history. You know, you could argue Chad Reed is in that camp too, but if you have any flaw, you give him any window, if there's any angle to or that Cooper Webb's going to exploit it and make the most of it. It's just what he does.
Reed comparison. I think Reed had the same level of consistency, and maybe Chad's even better, but I feel like Chad more did his deal for the most part, like did his thing and didn't ruin himself. I do think there's a little more of the exploiting weaknesses and using strategy more than anyone else I've ever seen. I'm not saying he's better. I still think Chad is probably more of an all-timer, but I don't know if anyone uses your weaknesses against you in the same way. And look, he's maybe not as fast as Sexton, but I'm sure you could argue that Ken Roczen and Eli Tomac were faster than him in other seasons where he won the title too. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I mean, look, I don't think anybody would leave the race going, oh, well, he was the fastest guy, you know, because he kind of wasn't, like, but it doesn't matter. He goes 6-1-1. That's what he does. It's,
no, and was Eli Tomac faster than him in 2019? Probably was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Eli Tomac was definitely faster than Ryan Dungey in 2017.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was surprised. I thought Kenny was going to hold on to it in the third one. You guys? Like, I was like, I mean, it was, you know, he was winning. It was on his plate. It was there. And, yeah, I mean, even Anderson ended up getting him on the last lap. I think it didn't really change his position. But I was a little surprised. Kenny let that one go in the last one. You guys?
I mean, is it fair to say that this is similar to what's happened before?
Yeah, like
We're not leaning into it as much as we did in Detroit. You know, like Detroit, everybody was talking about that. Like it's prototypical Webb Roczen thing that we're all harped on, and it happened again. This is again, you know, like it kind of was, and it wasn't just Webb, but the result was the same. Like Kenny had it, mm-hmm. and it just slipped through his fingers.
I was surprised because I did think, I mean, Detroit was Detroit. You know, Webb getting him. I mean, that track was getting late in the regular race, and this was a Triple Crown thing, though. This is something where Kenny should be better at, theoretically.
But it's the same thing,
yeah.
though. You know, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to discount your point, but it's if you just take out all the, you know, nuance of it and just look at Went, it's the same. Kenny had it. He had a gap. He looked like the fastest guy, and in the end, mm-hmm. he found a way to not win it. You know, and I start to wonder, is he finding ways to not win? And I don't think that's fair. I'm not saying that. But to go there, somebody could take that side of it as he is finding ways to not win some of these.
Yeah, with six laps to go, Kenny had the overall, and then Chase had the overall, and then Cooper Webb gets the overall. Like, it was just...
I mean, Chase had it by, like, easy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kenny, like, needed a win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he
yeah.
needed to execute. The Chase thing we're going to get to. That was, like, to me, that's, like, the Kenny and Chase probably shouldn't be in the same conversation as far as how this went. You know,
no.
I guess in a binary thing, it is. But, like, the nuance of it is wildly different.
Also,
I understand your point.
Kenny and Chase had almost huge ones in the whoops, and Webb looked good in the whoops. Webb didn't look amazing in the whoops.
I mean,
but
he just skimmed, he jumped,
blitz. You know?
He's just like, yeah, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm out on blitzing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was skimming for a little bit, but yeah, basically.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, he would hop through a few, but I think yeah. it was more like he would make a mistake on the jumping,
mm-hmm.
and then he would just like, oh, I'm just going to blitz my way out of here.
Yep.
You know? But like, it wasn't his, like, he didn't, I don't think he came out of the corner going, nope, I'm going to lift the front and just send it through here.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in the first race, but after that, I don't think that was really the plan.
The whoops were tough. They were definitely a separator, for sure. And we'll get to Jordan Smith in a little bit. But, yeah, Chase Sexton, Weege, what the fuck?
Kudos to you for not starting with that, but I'm finally, like, past it now.
Well, I didn't want to pile on. I didn't want to pile on 2 weeks in a row.
I thought we'd give
Webb his thoughts. Yeah.
But we have to talk. I mean, like, we can't.
Oh, we're talking about it. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I think we're all fans of Chase. Like, he's a really nice guy, and he's incredibly good. But, like, yeah, it's a huge thing.
I don't know. I was, like, shook. Like, I'm driving to the airport this morning, and I'm like, I'm still, like, I cannot believe it. I'm finally past it now, but like these races, they don't affect our lives. Like whatever happens, happens. Didn't cost me any money or anything. But I was just perplexed. Oh God. well, you know what? I'd probably look like him when he's just sitting on the side of that berm. That's what I would look like. But I woke up after my classic 90-minute sleep in the hotel, and I'm like, no, still there, man. Still can't process this. Still shocked by what I saw. I'm sure there's 50 years this thing's been around. Maybe something was a more crazy gaffe, but I cannot think of one worse than this. I can't off the top of my head, at least.
Chad's bike blowing up at Daytona, and that wasn't his mistake, but, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Well, there's Chase.
Yeah, mud race, though. I mean, you could maybe you could say Chad was pushing too hard, but
race. He dominated that race. Like, that's to me, these are very different things, in my opinion. Very, very different. For like Chad, he's going to be pissed, but he knows deep down, I just smoked those guys. This to me, the mental challenge for Chase from here, I don't know what this does. Like, we've all seen Chase have issues with this. I'm on record as think he rides the ebb and flow of this in a negative way. Like, he lets it affect him too much. Like, if he was, and I've made this analogy, if he was an NFL quarterback, they would not be thrilled with his up and down, right? If he throws an interception, you're going to see it on the next drive. I think that's how Chase is. You know, afternoon, you see it show up that evening. It's happened too often in his career. I wonder what this does, because I was down there, and you guys were obviously there, but I was just watching him. I had nothing to do. I was waiting around. I was just watching him, and he was 6 inches from me on the podium for 2 minutes, waiting. He was not in a good place. And I'm not talking about the normal, he's pissed off. I haven't seen him that disheveled before. And maybe he's a man now. You know, he's older than he's ever been. Like, today he woke up and he's like, yeah, you know what, piss on it, you know, like, I hope so. I'm not sure, though. Like, this looked like it really, really affected him, and I hate it for him. I wish he could understand it. And, you know, credit to, like, Jake Mineta went over to, I don't know what he was telling him, but I think people that are older than him would be able to say, like, hey man, in a month, you're not even going to care about this. Like, whatever. Like, win, lose, whatever. It's not going to feel like this, so don't let it define you. But it's hard. I think there's so much emotion going on in Chase in the moment. It's hard to parse that. I'm just telling you, watching him and looking in his eyes, and he was going through it on Saturday night. So I would be very curious to see what he looks like in Daytona. That's what I'm trying to get to.
I don't think it bothers him at all. I really don't.
I hope not. I hope you're right. I'm more posing the question. That's it.
This is just another crushing one in a bunch of crushing
ones. This was more than that, though, man. I'm telling you, this was more than – the only reason I bring it up is because it's
now he
the most I've seen him be affected. Like, it was – I thought he was going to pick up something and break it. Like, he was not in a good place.
He said at Glendale that he knew Tomac, or he knew he had the overall, so he wasn't too worried about it. He was cruising. And Ian Harrison told me after the race that, you know, they did tell him that he didn't need to pass Webb to win the overall. Now, whether he saw the board or not, they don't know. He's famous for not really looking at his boards, but you would assume someone would have told him on the line, hey, you've got
but
the overall.
He had to know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So
he had to know because Webb had went 6-1.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
he would have known that.
Right. So I'm just getting to the thing that I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had to know that he had the overall. He wasn't riding like that. He was definitely charging hard all the way through. Don't forget, he had the Justin Cooper mistake, too, which was silly in the second one. First one? Second one?
Second one.
That was kind of silly because he didn't need to do that. He just had to wait a little bit. And then he stalls it in the third one again. And then he does what happens. Yeah, it's a lot. I don't think it affects him. I think he is shown in the past. He's thrown things away a little bit, and he's come back. We'll see. But it's like we said. It's just shocking that – I don't know. Yeah, well, why are you trying to go on the outside of somebody in that turn? Why – you know, it was just a simple tip over. He just hit the back wheel and fell over. But, like, why –
why are you getting close to him?
Why are you getting close? Yeah, why are you getting close? Why are you –
I mean, he was crashing before he even hit Webb.
He was crashing because he was too close to
him. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I'm saying, like, yeah. Him running into Webb was kind of an afterthought. He lost the front and was going to fall over anyway.
Yeah.
But your guy's point about why was he taking that risk is 100% valid.
If he stays 2 seconds behind Webb, none of this happens.
And he wanted to win.
Like, in the end, he wanted to pass.
He wanted to win. Yes.
I think he thought that if he could get come out of the corner before the whoops right behind Webb, he could get past him. That's my, whatever analyst opinion. If I was pressed, I would say he knew he had to be right on him coming in to the corner before the whoops, and he thought he could get a drive and win the race. And the messaging and the momentum and all that, he wanted to win. And
yeah,
you can't
but
fault him for that. But it's it's a risk management thing.
But
that in the end, it is a risk management.
Yeah, but
yes, you want to win, but you cannot risk losing the overall to do it.
But he was in that same position 2 weeks ago at Glendale, right? And he didn't try to push it to win, to beat Eli, to make a statement.
Oh, I don't think he could. I don't think he could beat Eli.
I don't know. I know what you're saying about, hey, I'm going to, you know, this is my main guy, and I'm going to pass him and drop him and beat him, and I'm going to have some momentum, and I'm going to put it in his head that I'm better than him. And all of that, I understand that, but you would have thought the same things were going through his head in Glendale.
I disagree, because I don't think he had a choice. Like, it's different when somebody passes you, versus him catching Webb in Arlington and having a chance to win. Those are two, to me, very different things. If he could have won race three in Glendale, I have 100% confidence he would have. He just didn't have the pace. Like, you know when you can do it and when you can't, and he felt like he had to, so he was trying. That's the whole question, though, is did he risk too much because he had that chance? And I mean, the answer is yes, because of the result, but you could say the same. And I'll pose this. I'll ask you guys this. You could say the same thing, and I wish I had the opportunity to get in to do this. In the 250 class, in his race three, like, he was pressing the envelope, passing Beaumaire. He didn't need to do any of that, you know? So it's going to be a fine line, and the result is basically going to dictate whether it was worth the squeeze or not, you know? Because Deegan, I even asked you guys in the booth, I asked Rick, hey, should he be pushing here? He's got the overall by a bunch of points. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. Should he go for it? And I thought the same thing as Ricky. Yeah, if you can get him, get him. Well, the same thing happened to Sexton. If you can get him, sure, get him. It just didn't work, you know? And I don't know what's right or wrong. It's easy for us to armchair quarterback it. But Deegan had no problem, you know, 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah, but a little different.
It's not the same. I think Deegan did later. I think Deegan did check up at times when it was completely and totally under his control.
If he was close to Davies at all,
maybe. But I feel like there were times where he was actually playing it, checking up here and there, playing it a little extra smart.
When he and Beaumaire are stopping in corners and running,
there were times. That was not one of those times. But I do think when he got to second, he's like, I don't need to run this dude down.
You can't say that he checked up when they're like playing cat and mouse and he's like stopping on the faces of jumps. Like, he literally locked up the brake sideways on the takeoff of a jump.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about those times. There were other times where I feel like he – Beaumaire, he's no holds barred.
Same thing, though.
But later in the race, there were other times where he said, nah, I'm good here, which Sexton did not do at all. Sexton never did that at any point in the race. He never was concerned with the overall. Beaumaire is like, I got a different mission with Beaumaire. I'm here to use and abuse this guy and crush him and kill him. Beyond him, I'm checking up for everybody else. I don't need to win this. It's situational. There is no situation. It is pedal to the metal with everyone all the time.
Wait, Steve saying Glendale was situational.
No. Well, with Chase.
No, I agree with you on that, JT. I think the only reason it was different at Glendale is that he couldn't catch Beaumaire. He would have done the same thing if he could have. I agree with you completely. If he could have gone a second faster than Eli in the last lap at Glendale and gotten to his rear wheel, he probably would have tried to beat him.
Well, I'm just telling you what he said. I'm just saying what he told us after Glendale.
He said both in the press conference.
Oh,
he was mad that he got beat.
Oh.
He was mad that he messed up a rhythm and that allowed Eli to get by him. He said he wanted to beat him. He did say he knew where the overall was. But I agree with you on that, JT. I think if he could have beat Tomac at Glendale, he would have tried to beat him there, too.
I think the difference...
My only point is that it's a really fine line. You know, if he doesn't press, somebody's going to say, dude, you got to go try to win. You can't let him get a win here. You can't let him get the confidence and momentum. If you go for it and you screw it up, people like me are all going to say, you can't risk it there. You've got the overall locked up. What are you doing? Like, it's... it's really tough. And he got it wrong. Like, no question, he got it wrong. And in, I think in hindsight, it's really easy to say, like, you should have never pressed there. But I've also been of the mindset of you can't allow Webb to have the confidence of two races in a row. You know, the race two and race three, you couldn't get to him in the end and Webb beat you. You know, like, that's the only point I'm trying to make. It's tough to know the right thing to do. It's really easy after it goes wrong to say exactly what the right thing to do was.
I guess so, but I'd be the one saying I won the overall. Everyone's talking about how you dominated this race. You win all the time. I win the overall. And, I mean, you've got to know who you're dealing with. Like, you're going to pick, I'm going to go after Cooper Webb on the last lap of a race when I'm holding the overall and he's not. I'm going to play that. I'm going to
really
dance
really
into that fire.
Chance.
Well, that's the difference
really
to me.
He had a strong chance of getting him. I do believe he had a really strong chance of passing Webb.
That's the difference to me.
Yeah, but this is the worst guy to go after on the last lap of a race when he has nothing to lose. He's second overall and you're in first.
Not
going next to him.
Not arguing. I'm just saying I'm putting my I'm a racer and competitor cap on. That's it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm trying to empathize with his thought process in the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, the difference.
So,
okay, go ahead.
What that does, JT, is I think proved to us is he knew the math. We're not questioning that he knew the math. He had a different mission. And whether that was smart or right or wrong, the mission was, I want to beat Webb straight up. I know what the math was. I know I didn't have to. It's not that they didn't give him the message or he didn't know. I think we're pretty sure of this, right? And it's just now down to, was that smart to know the math and disregard it? Go for it.
Well, not to mention he almost had one in the whoops a few laps before this. Not a huge one, not like Roczen, but he almost had a big one.
It was a big one.
And the difference to me compared to Hayden is this was the last lap, and Hayden checked up with about three to go. Like, he just said, okay, I'm good. Like, I got the Bomer kid, and I'm cruising now because I know I have this thing, and it's Davies and, like, whatever. To me, like, it's the last lap, Chase. Like, it's just take this thing home, man. You got the overall. Bring it on home. Yeah, I get the racer part of it. I get all that, but – I mean, you already almost had a big one in the whoops, and you stalled it, and you fell earlier in a Triple Crown with Jay Coop. It's just like, I don't know, man. Yep.
Like, I have a reference. Does this hold water? Think about 2003 and how pissed Ricky was to get second six times in a row down the stretch.
Yeah,
he was not having a fun time. I was there. Like, you guys were there. I was there. He was not enjoying that at all. But he also never threw it away. He did not crash himself out to try to go beat Chad. Like, he was trying. Don't get me wrong. But he didn't go over the line and do something stupid to try to beat him. And he got second six times in a row to get there.
On a side note of that, I loved how Scott Taylor was telling people that Ricky was just taking the seconds. Meanwhile, he was trying to kill himself to beat Chad. He just couldn't.
But he never threw it away.
No.
Which is to his credit. I agree with you. Like, there was no – he wasn't laying up. If anybody's trying to say he was laying up, they're fooling themselves.
But I don't think this affects him, Weech. I think he's fine. He's going to send it again, maybe win this weekend in Daytona. Like, nothing is over. He's five down. He's the fastest guy. There's no doubt.
Only because I feel like, I mean, this is the worst one of them, but I mean, we've seen it very similar before. I mean, dude, I know that he wasn't going to catch Eli in points in 2023, but he was riding really well at the end of the year. He won Atlanta and just dominated before Tomac was in points management mode. And I mean, how many races did he throw away that year? And he still righted the ship and got it back. So I'm not, he's crashed a lot of wins away and then still won races at the back half of the season before. So I am not worried about that. But the problem is JT made an awesome report at the end. He's already, you could say, thrown away 15, 20 points in the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the amount of confidence you've given Webb in these 3 weeks, I'm not worried about him himself not rebounding, but there's a lot of damage that's already done. I mean, the amount of points he's given away in the last two races is huge.
I did some math on the plane this morning. I think it's 14 in my eyes because you give him. You give him a second. Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's fine. Yeah. Just for all the reasons we each said. Wait, I feel like there was a. This one's bad, but I feel like there was a worse one outdoors. Wasn't her last lap crash outdoors? Threw away the overall? No? I don't know.
I can't rule it out.
I can't keep them all track of them all, but I feel like there was a worse one than this.
But this is worse because he didn't. Everyone knew he should have cruised. Like, I went back and watched the show, and we were saying it 2.5 laps to go.
Yeah.
We were saying he doesn't need to do it.
Yeah.
Every one of us on broadcast said it like 4 times. Will's like, the message on the pit board says calm. They just wanted to be calm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he doesn't need to do this. And then when he crashed, I was like, he didn't need to do it. And everything we, like, everyone in the building knew.
Yeah.
He's just going to chill. So I feel like even if he crashed randomly before, it wasn't quite like this.
Yeah, maybe. He, like I said, Ian Harrison was definitely like, Ian was a little shocked too after the race. I didn't talk to Chase, obviously, but yeah, Ian was like, we definitely need to be smarter, you know, like he was, yeah. So,
but he made the point in his interview in our post race show, and JT, you heard it. He did say he's like, at least he crashed trying to win. That's there's something in there, you know. Maybe that's not the best case scenario.
Yeah,
but there is something in there that's.
Well,
positive.
I mean,
he's
the fastest guy, right?
Yeah.
We're all, everyone thinks, we all think he's the fastest guy right now, right? I mean, I do.
Yep.
Yeah. Like he's got these guys handled. So there's ultimately that fact, but geez.
And how many guys have Roger and Ian have on their team over the last 50 years where they're like, if the guy would only try harder or train harder or want it more, at least they're like, at least we're not dealing with that.
Yeah. But yeah, 5 back now. Went from tied to 5, right?
Is there a risk where this becomes like a fulfilling prophecy and it's like in his head every time?
No, I don't think so. Cause like it was there with the Honda thing, right? Like it's been there for so long.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's the more times you do something, the more likely it becomes you're going to do it again. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
My only worry is the crashes that he's had. We didn't see this for a while with the KTM, right? We had not seen most of this stuff. This is really, it came back to the surface in the last 3 weeks. My only actual worry is we did have some races in the Honda days where there were big crashes and then you got a horrible result, right? There was an Indy, there was a Seattle. You get stuck in the gate, you get third, not that bad. You got fifth in Tampa, not that bad. This one, you get second, not that bad. I'm worried that one of these leads to a 14th. And then you're like, oh, crap, now he's down 30 points.
Yeah, Ricky made this point, and I tried to reinforce his original point. When you do stuff like this, and like Steve saying it's fine, I don't really agree because he's been doing everything right. You know, he's been so fast. You're putting yourself in a spot where you can't do anything wrong anymore. You know, like he's had so many opportunities. You could say he would have won Tampa. If he doesn't win, he definitely gets second. Last weekend, you know, like he was this guy. He, you know, loses points, gets back to third. Great job. Loses more points. This weekend, there are going to be times where things go wrong and he's just not quite riding as well, where these would have masked those. Does that make sense? Right? Like these outlier great performances would have made up for things that could go wrong in the future. Now he doesn't have that cushion anymore. Like he has given away these points through unforced errors. And now he doesn't have any margin for error anymore. Even though he's been the best guy, He's got to be perfect from here. Like that's what I think is the most troublesome of this, is because I don't know that he's not going to have an issue from here. Like he has given away a golden opportunity to be, I don't know, a 15-point lead. Realistically, if you do the swing, take away points from Webb and give Chase those points back, like he could have a reasonable lead right now. And instead, he's 5 down.
But when you say 14th, like we just saw, he's stuck in the gate. He got stuck in the gate and crashed. So I don't know what would have to happen for a 14th.
Yeah. Yeah. But he had, again, I'm going back to, he had a race in Seattle where he just hit neutral on a jump and endoed and didn't finish.
Yeah.
Nashville.
Really hurt him. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's possible unlikely, yes.
Right. Okay.
And the other thing, Ricky pointed out when he stalled and lost the lead and then Roxanne got ahead of him. And at that, it lost the overall. I think that was the point Ricky was making where he's like, well, now you've really got to tote the mail. Like, now you put yourself in a spot where you got to hang it out for a lap or two because you stalled. And the more of a hole he puts himself in, the more risks he's going to have to take at some point because he doesn't have the margin of error. And then that opens up the door potentially for more mistakes because he can't chill at any point.
Classic Stu, by the way. Stu had many seasons where he was the fastest guy, and then he would make a mistake, and it would take him five races to get that back, and then he would make another mistake, and then his margin of error shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and you know, you were
Chad made a living off of that dynamic. Yep. You know what I mean? That was Chad's bread and butter. I don't know if I can beat him straight up, so I just got to be there every single time.
Well, Daytona should be a banger, that's for sure, because these guys want to win it for the first time, and looking forward to that. That should be a great race, I think. And I think Chexton just continues. I don't think it affects him, but we'll see. But I do think kind of, and again, just I didn't research this, but I feel like some of the races where he's had these things happen, they do go in streaks, and then he figures it out. And we all go, oh, he's figured it out. And then it goes in streaks again. I do feel like that. I didn't go back and look, but it was like weeks in a row shit would go sideways. Not just one and then stop. So he's
in 2023. He did end of the year. He straightened it up. You know, the last two races, Eli wasn't there, but before that, he was hauling and not crashing.
He's deep. He's deep in it right now. That's for sure.
Guy was pretty damn distraught on Saturday night. I hope the best for him. I hope he isn't just burying himself mentally. But man, it didn't look good.
Roxon goes from winning to Sexton winning and Webb winning, and Webb's got 5 points, and 6-1-1 for Coop. And if you're Cooper Webb, you're like, I just didn't beat myself. I just, you know, did my thing. So Justin Cooper, fourth overall, led a bunch of laps, got great starts. He looked okay in the whoops. He still jumped them, but like at times blitzing and qualifying, he looked okay. So, yeah, Justin Cooper, another fourth, 2-3-6. He's probably wishing, like you know, Triple Crowns are so crazy scoring. Like, you go 2-3-6, you think you got a third overall. But, good job for Justin Cooper, for sure, for that. He looked better in the whoops, I thought, too. And then Justin Hill. Yep, Justin Hill.
Dude.
Qualifies fastest. Now, someone told me he went 3-4 even after they fixed it. Did anybody see that? JT, did you see that at all? I didn't, but
I did not see him do it.
But someone mentioned that on his
I mean, it wouldn't shock me. Like, it was definitely doable.
Yeah, on his hot lap. Chase did it on Preston. They knocked it down the takeoff a little bit. Justin Hill. And then he rode really well. 4-4-8. Yep.
He was knocking on the door. He was in a fight for a little while.
Yeah.
He was good.
You guys ever dated a girl where she's a little off and you don't really know what you're going to get? Like, sometimes you see her and she's totally normal, life of the party, great time. Next time you see her, you're like, oh my God, you might need to see someone. Like, you might need to move all of your stuff into a padded room. That's how I feel about Justin Hill. Like, I don't ever know what I'm going to get. Like, sometimes he's like, pretty good. Yeah, it's all right. You know, makes the main event. Not really even, like, kind of makes it. Like, it's a little close making the main event. And then other times I'm like, this guy might win the race. Which one I'm going to get when we show up on a Saturday. I have no clue. Like, I know that technical stuff helps him.
Yeah,
but
that's where I'm going.
That's the end of it. Yeah. That's all I've got. I have nothing past that. I don't know if it's dirt. I don't know if it's jumps. I don't know if it's ruts. I don't know what it is, but he's feeling it. He is top tier, elite level. And when he's not, he could just as easily get 13.
Good job for Justin Hill. Ted Tedder. 4-4-8.
Did see on that qualifying lap him go to the whoops, and it was freaking magical, man. Like, it was – I've never seen – in that segment?
No, like, in the, it's one the time.
Yeah.
Like, he was a second better than, like, the good guys.
He either jumped half and skimmed the back half or skimmed and jumped out. But the way he did both, I was just like, oh my God. And then he shot to the top of the, I'm like, that was pretty impressive. But I didn't know it would hold on, but yeah, they never even got close.
No, it's
unbelievable.
Five tenths better. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but like, it was like, there was a bunch of guys, like, he was 47.6 or something.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of guys like 48.4, 48.5. Like, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a lot better than those guys. So it was amazing. That was a hell of a lot.
I honestly, like, we shouldn't – he was a privateer. He's a privateer. He qualified quickest. You know what I mean? Like, that's literally – think how tough that is. Think how, you know, we just don't see privateers.
It's so Justin Hill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then even – but even still, 4-4-8, like, he kind of backed it up. Fifth overall. Good job. Nice. You know? Yeah.
Amazing day for him.
Maybe they can get a new wrap. Maybe this will help the sponsorship. I don't know. Just thinking things out loud here.
This could be the moment.
It can't be money. It can't be. It's got to be like they're just going to see this thing through.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Like, there's no way that the $7,000 wrap or whatever it is like this obstacle that can't be overcome. That's not it. Like, there's no way that I believe that.
Barsha, sixth overall. Barsha stuffed Chase, too, at the finish line. Like, it didn't hurt Chase at all, but just another, like, just like a bam. And did you guys obviously saw Barsha and Anderson?
That's unbelievable. Like, I wrote in my notes when I was just kind of going over the race, I wrote, Barsha and Anderson, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet.
It's
like, you don't need to know any more.
No.
Than those two got there.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was great. Just the honey badger and the rabid dog, whatever you want.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And that last turn.
Yeah.
I was watching the race back with my kid this morning. I'm like, yeah, Barsha's just like, oh, sweet. I got a shot. Last turn of the weekend. I can hit somebody. Let's do it. Let's just tune him up.
Like, I wish that people were in on it because I wanted so badly on the broadcast to go, oh, yeah. Like, so bad. But nobody would have got it. It would have went over poorly.
Anderson had
just insult to injury. Like, Sexton's blown everything. He's so angry. And then Barsha's just got to torpedo him in the last corner just for kicks.
Yep. I mean, actually, let me look here. No, it didn't affect Barsha at all. It didn't help his overall at all. But, I mean, you don't know that at the time, but yeah.
No. Just get racing.
Yeah, just get racing, man.
He's just never seen an inside that he doesn't take. It's just there will never be a scenario where if the door is open, he will always do it. I love it. I love the consistency.
Anderson had a bad night for sure. Crashes, and I think one of them, I don't know what happened the first one. I don't know if he fell the first one or not. Second one, obviously he did. And then the other one, he rebounded with a second. And, he got Kenny, like, on the last lap, or I think on the last lap or second last lap, he got Kenny. So at least he salvaged that second place to sort of help his day out. But 11th for Anderson and 6th for Bam. I think that's a season best for Bam, 6th overall. I think that's the best. I think he got a couple 7s.
I think he went 12-12-6 at Glendale, but yeah, overall, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AP was better.
It was wild, though. Anderson in that last race, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like
ripped. Yeah.
What the heck happened?
I don't know.
He caught, like, those guys were all dogfighting, like, all over the place. And I think Anderson was like, oh, I'm in. Like, tag me in. Mm-hmm. Anderson supersonic. I'll be there in 30 seconds.
Yeah. AP was better. He was leading the third one and then went off the track and all that in the whoops. But, I mean, AP was better, 7-7-10. Obviously, he was way back in the start of that third one when he went off the track. But I just felt like Aaron was more in the fight this weekend in qualifying.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
He did. He got banged up a little bit, by the way, in the free practice. I don't know how much it affected him. He fell and got run into by A-Rod, I think, and then his arm was hurting. I don't know if it was like that was – the whole night because of that might not, but I do know that happened. That's all.
Yeah.
He was,
but yes,
he was
in general, what the heck?
He was favoring his own.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
But the problem is, right, this is too similar to the other weekends. We're not sure.
Well, this is just, you look at last year and you're like, okay, he's getting better. Like, this guy is improving. He is, I don't know if he's ever going to win title. You know, odds are probably against it, but he is getting better.
Yeah.
And this year has been a really big step back.
It's funny, he made a shock change. He said it before last week, but he was sick. And somebody texted me, they're like, why would he be changing his bike this year? How could he be uncomfortable? The bike was awesome last year. So I asked him that. And I'm like, why were you uncomfortable this year? Why didn't you just ride last year's bike? He's like, I don't know. I did. It just wasn't the same. I don't know why. So we've been chasing it. He does whatever was good last year wasn't working this year. He doesn't know why.
Okay. Ian also told me a little bit that they're still working on stuff on the bike for the shock too, on Chase's bike also. Cause I was like, hey, I thought it, you know, Chase had some moments there, on the bike, and Ian said, yeah, we're still trying to get it better. So I don't know if Chase is totally happy with his setup right now either.
He said on the podium, they need to get the bike better.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
Yep.
I don't know. Like, he says that all the time, though, so.
Yeah. Well, no, a few weeks ago we had him on the show, and he said, I haven't touched it. It's been great. So.
No, I don't mean he's, like, hammering on them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's always chasing better. You know, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just.
No, well, to that extent, I was talking to Jade in the morning with Phil. Jade Dungey's mechanic, and we were laughing about the difference between AP and Sexton as a mechanic, and he was like, oh, Chase is busy, keeps me on my toes, and AP was just like, yeah, it's all good, you know?
Yeah, I just think some guys are like, yeah, maybe like two clicks,
right,
and we're good, you know, like, Chad was this way, it's different.
Yeah.
Nick Way, they're constantly chasing.
Yeah.
Something, you know, and it's just a personality thing.
Dylan, eighth overall. He was up there in the third one and fell late in the race. He was riding really well in that third one. I actually made notice. I said to somebody in the press box, I'm like, the first time I noticed Dylan all night.
He was better in Detroit, too.
Yeah, he seems like it. I think he was five or six in the third one when he went down. Malcolm just got out alive, Weege. We saw him at the end of the night. He got out alive.
Malcolm got out alive?
Yeah, that's what he said to us. He told us that at the end of the night.
Oh, well, yeah, whatever. He was confused. We saw him walking out. He looked angry, but he said he was not.
Yep.
He's not angry.
Yep.
But, yeah, I have no idea how his race went. Just was a non-factor.
Yep.
I wrote invisible in my notes. That's literally the word I wrote, was invisible.
Yeah.
Savachi, 10th overall, 11-8-9 for Joey. He went down in one of them. I know that. He qualified really well, I think. Joey was
such a good rider, man.
Yeah.
I say this all the time, but... that guy can freaking ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the results don't, you know, they don't jump off the page, but I just, when I watch him, I'm like, that guy, I don't know how he's not, like, battling for fourth or fifth. You know, that's where that's where I think he should be.
Oldenburg, hometown race for Oldenburg. He said he couldn't ride all week because the weather was so bad. So he rode on Monday, and then he couldn't ride again. And he said that he was sick as well, like everybody else. He said he's got the same thing going around. And it was funny, like, he wasn't expecting that much of himself, and he had a good race, 10, 11, 13 for Mitch on the beta. So you're that way with Savachi, JT, and you have been saying that a lot. I'm that way with Oldenburg. I'm an Oldenburg fan.
But, like, not on that level.
He's a good rider. He's not Savachi level, but he's a good
–
He's an underrated rider. People don't
talk
about Oldenburg. He's a good rider.
No, the guy's got podiums in 250 class, like, of course.
Right. But I feel like just like Weege never talks about him. Weege doesn't like him. Like, I just feel like, you know.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
This is usually for me, Weege. This is usually for
me. I'm kidding.
Like troll train.
I threw that out there.
Just like troll train.
By the way, speaking of troll train, I had a good talk with J-Mart. He told me all about the UPS job, how hard it was, how much little money it was. You know, he said that Brad from Star Racing called him about the VIP program while he was like midday delivery, had to call him back after the shift, you know, to find out. Yeah. So J-Mart, man. Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
I said, you know, you don't really seem like the type of guy to really be a VIP host, J-Mart. And he's like, I'm not, but you gotta stretch it. You gotta push yourself into new boundaries. You gotta try new things. And I'm like, good for you, J-Mart. Good for you. And I was at the – I'm still on the J-Mart thing. At the beginning of the day, I was walking in the pits, and J-Mart was there. And the host, the girl that works for Yamaha, Alex Campbell's wife, she had the star VIPs there. And she just said, this is Jeremy. He's your host. And I thought to myself, shouldn't it be like, this is Jeremy Martin, two-time national champion? He's your host? I don't know.
I hope they know. I hope they know that.
He said,
"Is this a Jason Anderson thing all over again?"
He said,
"Is
most
angry."
He said, "Most people do know, but he said some people don't." So, and you know, J-Mart's not one to run around and be like, "Hey, I'm Jeremy Martin." Like, he's not that way. So,
I hope no one's listening to this podcast that say did the VIP program at like Anaheim 2 and was like, "Oh, dude, that was Jeremy Martin." I never realized.
Right.
I hung out with him all day.
I have so many questions.
Damn it! I was going to ask about his bike blowing up at High Point that year.
Yeah. McElrath got a second-place start in one of them. I'm guessing the second one, 13-10-12.
No, last one.
Last one?
Last one.
Oh. Well, I got 12, so I don't know if he crashed again, but yeah. And how does the A-Main, how's the A-Main let him run those backgrounds, that team? Isn't it?
Well, I can tell you the TV announcer wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah, really, right? I don't know how that even,
dude.
Like, I get it was military appreciation.
Like, I'm black!
Yeah, I don't. It's a military appreciation.
It had to be a one-off for this race, right? Because all the number fonts are all way out of way out of what's allowed also.
I just don't understand.
I'm not saying it's right. Right. I'm just saying it had to be a one-off thing.
Is this NOM? We don't have rules anymore?
Well, you can't use NOM for a military appreciation race. You can't. That cannot be the reference.
It is NOM, actually, in this case. It was war.
It was war.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that's Joey or Shane. There's the number is invisible, and in the first 2 seconds of them going on the first turn,
mm-hmm.
their riding styles aren't that different.
No.
Like, yeah.
All right, Jerry, I said last week that Jerry should beat all the privateers because he's good, and he did again, 15, 14, 15. He even beat Colt Nichols, who Benny was telling me was the biggest thing Benny said he saw all day was Colt just absolutely killing himself in the whoops. And then Chiz crashed the next turn before the finish, and Chiz was trapped under his bike. Both Chiz and Nichols were 20 feet apart laying on the ground. Rough third main for the HEP team. That's for sure.
Yeah. Dustin's like, can you guys just do what Kenny's doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look at just Kenny, do what he's doing.
Kenny was leading, and just think about Kenny came around and there's Chiz and then, oh, there's Nichols. Oh, okay, guys. The first two,
you
know, he left.
You mentioned this. Oh. I have a theory here. Here's a question. This is, I believe, an honest question that we should be asking. Roczen is awesome, and Roczen's riding well, and we see Roczen riding well, and we just think it's Ken Roczen. It's normal. Is there a chance? I mean, look, it's a Suzuki. Maybe they've got that thing dialed. Maybe all the technology and the modern bikes, it's pointless. Or is there a chance that he is at a, I don't know, 8% disadvantage, and he's actually riding even better than we realize?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, I'll go with that. Yeah,
we're just assuming it's Brooks. The team is solid. They got it dialed. We have no other proof from anyone in the world that the bike is at the same level as the others.
Yeah,
but when Roczen's doing well, we just assume it is.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe it isn't.
Joey,
I don't think it is.
Joey didn't ride it. Somebody rode it in World Supercross and didn't do that well on it. Somebody like good? I don't know. And Colt, I mean, Colt's he's struggling for sure. Definitely, like,
pretty much
I do not believe that Ken Roczen's bike is as technologically advanced as Jet Horn's. I do not believe that.
Right. So knowing that, like,
well,
here's the thing I'm getting to. Is Roczen actually riding as good or better than anyone in the series? Since he's almost still the best guy, he's like the third best guy, and it's close. And he's at a disadvantage.
I mean, we know it's he just got a works transmission this year, so, yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, good point, Weege. I wish you would have said that.
It's just a question worth asking. We can't answer it.
I wish you would have saved that for the Pulp Show, because it is a good topic. But why can't Colt be around Mitchell Oldenburg? And he can't seem to be that way. He's a past 250 Supercross champion. I know he had injuries. I get it, but. Yeah,
I definitely don't think he could do it on the bike that Mitchell now has.
You don't think Kenny could?
No.
Or Colt? Oh, Colt. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, we tried that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mitchell Harrison, 16th. Benny crashed out in one of the mains, and then he got a flat tire in the other one, and he went down twice in like 30 feet from this flat tire he didn't know he had. So rough night for Benny Bloss. A-Rod's just a guy now, just starts riding January 4th, and now he's just riding it into the top 18 for the triple crown.
He also had a huge crown.
Yeah, first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it. What did he do?
I don't know. I just saw him getting up.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I saw him ride off. I had him in fantasy, so I wasn't very happy. Starling, Chiz. Chiz had a rough night. Hardog, DNF'd one of them with a crash. And then Scott Meshey made it in. His first main since 2021.
He was pumped.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, Scott Meshey.
And he jumped off the track in one of the mains and almost killed. After Chase Curtis got hit, another photographer almost got blasted by Scott Meshey. And I was like, you guys have got to get away from the track. Like, your job, I know it's probably impossible, but oh my gosh, it was almost twice.
Same spot?
It was – so Miller came off the berm. Like,
yeah.
And then into the start.
Yep.
Meshey, in that rhythm before it, jumped off the track onto the concrete and almost blasted him. So, like, 10 feet.
Yeah, yeah.
The same
damn. Nice to see that Jorge Prado also said that he had shoulder problems before. So now the net's not to blame, or the net is still to blame. I don't know. But apparently the shoulder was an issue before. Jorge Prado put it out.
Mm-hmm. The net gave him an irregular movement mm-hmm. that the shoulder was not strong enough to withstand. Mm-hmm. So you're not off the hook, sir, nor is Kevin Windham.
Shameful.
I don't think we should have had Prado on the show doing a Zoom. I think it's too much Prado.
Well, no.
It's too much.
No jet so far. I'm not all the way through it, but no jet so far. So that's good.
That's good. Whatever.
All right. That's 450 class from Tech Dallas. Anything else? No?
No, we're good.
Okay.
It was an hour of 450s.
Motorsport.com. Thank you to Motorsport. Go through the banner to help us out. We appreciate that. And great prices. Make your next ride your best ride with Motorsport.com. OEM and aftermarket parts. Great prices, as I mentioned, on Renthal or Maxxis or Fly Racing. All of that available at motorsport.com. Free shipping on everything over $69 as well. And also, by the way, Weege, have you dreamed of owning a pro motocross compound?
Been thinking about it.
Yep. Jerry Limburger and his team at Scenic Sotheby's International Realty bring you an unbelievable opportunity, Weege. BAM Land is for sale in Greenville, Florida. Turnkey training paradise features two supercross tracks, a motocross track, a massive shop, a gym, RV hookups, living quarters, Weege, all the equipment you need to hit the ground running.
I got to consider the interest rates. They're not good right now.
Yeah.
That is a factor.
You got cash.
Yeah, actually, it depends on, I do have cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this would be a lot of cash.
We'll
find out.
You also see Justin every weekend, so you could bring the cash in a suitcase to the race.
Yeah, unmarked bills. Baseball season starts in about 3 weeks. If we have a bad weekend, we'll look into it.
Okay.
Go back to motocross.
All right. Well,
clock's ticking.
Call or text Jerry at 850-842-1058 today if you want to own BAMland. And, Jason Wygant, you'll be bidding against Wygant, but, I mean, chances are you can outbid him. All right. And also, too, Weege, Onyx Maps?
Yeah, sorry. Onyx Maps, they have 500,000 miles of trails mapped out for UTVs, side-by-sides. We know Jeremy McGrath uses it. I don't think he's necessarily an endorser, like a paid endorser of it, but you saw it on his phone. And what did Jeremy McGrath do in his side-by-side? He won the prestigious King of the Hammers. So I'm just going to say that some of the practice that he got using Onyx Maps, this is completely and totally theorizing on my part,
mm-hmm.
helped him win the prestigious King of the Hammers. Why would you not use what the king uses? And it's not just side-by-sides, mountain bikes, dirt bike trails, single track, adventure bikes, dual sports, hiking, hunting, you name it. Go to onxmaps.com, and they keep advancing it all the time. So get the latest app, Onyx Off-Road.
Speaking of hunting, RV's kid, the good one, 1KJSC.
The good one? That's messed up.
No, that's what RV said. Yeah.
Still messed up.
He was at the area qualifier last weekend. Brax. Yeah, he's at the area qualifier last weekend. And he was upset at his children's performances. Neither one made the regional, I don't think. But apparently, maybe they're Supercross-only specialists, like McGrath. Because Brax Villapoto won the KJSC. And there's RV on the podium. Loving it.
It was a battle, too.
It was a battle.
He was genuinely so pumped. I don't care. Kids race, whatever. I was so excited to see how excited RV was. That was really cool.
I was in some group texts where he was getting a screenshot with KTM sent to Yamaha and saying, fine him, cut his contract up, blah, blah, blah. So,
I mean, nothing that could fine him would matter.
All right. Thanks again to Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX when you're checking out at Fly Racing to save, whether it's Evo gear, whether it's Kinetic Mesh. We got some stuff coming out this weekend, I hear, through the grapevine. Flyracing.com. Stay tuned for that. Use the code PULPMX to save. All right, 250s. Well, Deegs, he was the best guy. He went down in the first one. I was queuing up my he makes mistakes in Supercross talk, but he overcame that and still won the damn race. And like we said, really, really impressive. And he took the points lead. Obviously, bad night for Julian Beaumaire. Really bad night for Jordan Smith. And, he's got the points lead now, and he rode great. And this is kind of what we were thinking about it. Obviously, I was talking about on Thursday, he switched. He was training with Christian Craig. Nothing's bad there. Nothing went wrong. He just switched to Swanepoel's program, who's the team trainer. a couple weeks ago, so I highly doubt that the switch to Swanepoel just made him this much better in that short a time. But he made some changes in his program, made some changes with the bike, and 1-1-2, Weej, for Hayden.
Yeah, I don't know why this took 2 months to happen. This was what we were seeing in Pro Motocross and SMX, where he can get a bad start and he can run the second or third best line in every corner and still go as fast or faster as everyone else in the main line. He can go anywhere, pass at will. Now, we had not seen him at that level in Supercross yet, but the obvious assumption is he would get there. I don't, again, know why it took 2 months, but this is what I think we were supposed to see at Anaheim 1.
Yeah, I agree. And like you said, he really could go high in the turns, low in the turns. He could get over the obstacles. He could move around the track, no problem. And, JT, I mean, yeah, he should. I mean, the showdowns, anything can happen, but this should be what we see, I think.
Well, this was the guy that was advertised. This is what we expected to see at A1, and now he's here. You know, it doesn't mean he's infallible. He made mistakes, to Steve's point, but the speed that we saw last summer, the speed by September, it arrived on a Supercross track, and he was able to basically just pass people at will. He could close gaps, he could pass, he could do really whatever he wanted to do. And really, the only thing that's left for him, you know, he hasn't won anything, championship, all that, but I'm saying the last thing he needs to kind of sort starts. The starts are still not there, but the riding, this was a marked improvement. And I know Bomer was dealing with the shoulder thing, and there's a lot going on in the class. Jordan Smith hurt himself, but none of that should deter us from the noticeable improvement Hayden has made over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, he was really downsiding jumps nicely and getting drive, really getting a lot of drive on guys, I noticed. Whoops were good. He wasn't great in the whoops, but he was good enough.
No.
I
kind of think it's a lot of it is he can, and Ricky makes this point a lot on the broadcast, he could go where he wanted and still make up time. You know, he didn't have to stay in the best line. He could kind of move around on the racetrack, and all the while he was still gaining on everybody. Like, that's a really nice kind of feather to have in your cap.
Bomer crashed, hurt his shoulder, I guess. And then, you know, kind of struggled throughout the night. He rode better in the third one. I mean, Ian Harrison had a really good point after the race. Ian's like, he's from the West Coast, and this has had bad ruts and softer dirt, and he's just not as comfortable in this, and he has to get better at this. But Ian was almost like saying, like, we knew this would be an issue on the East Coast as he moved east. So, and I mean, yeah, he didn't ride nearly as good, you know, as he did in Glendale, even though he crashed in Glendale twice. Like, yeah, just different track,
so
and different Bomer.
Is it the shoulder?
Well,
I think it's more the shoulder, personally.
Right. Well, that's what Ian said.
It could be both.
Yeah.
They had, did you mention they sent him to Florida? He's been riding at Baker's to try to get ready for that. Did you say that?
Yeah, I didn't say that. Nope. But yeah, you're right. Ian did mention that.
But, you know, maybe a little factor here. I guess the answer is it's multiple things. But, yeah, Deegan practiced on the East Coast. Maybe it wasn't so good in the hard pack trucks. We got one a little ruddier. He goes to another level. Juju goes the other way. I'm sure the shoulder, to your point, JT, was also a massive factor there. But maybe that is a little bit of it.
Yeah.
California testing versus Florida testing.
And
all season.
And, like, I don't want to pile on. He's a great guy, but Jordan Smith crashed. And obviously hurt some ribs, collapsed the lung. It was an ugly crash. And he'll be out. And that's really a shame. He was a lap and one turn away from probably winning that first one. I don't know if he would have beat these the other ones. I don't know. But Jordan was looking really good. But that's the thing that has haunted Jordan for sure, is crashes. And bummer for him in Triumph to you know, have that happen. And it just threw the championship wide open. So, you know, we talked all week coming in about these four guys. And because I put Davies in there. And two of them are, you know, hurting. So, yeah, crazy how things can change. And that's always makes our podcast weird when you talk about them, because literally at any moment something could happen in this sport and everything changes. It's so dangerous, it's so risky. And then you're like, oh yeah, wait, Jordan Smith, super cool, I won story, an older guy going for the championship, yeah, that's done, you know. So shitty for Jordan. And Bomer, we'll see. He's got a couple 1 week off, and then we go to the showdown. Cody Shock, second overall. Cody rode really well, man. Good starts. Jumped off the track at one point. But yeah, 2-4-6. It was so Mosman got him on the through the whoops on the last lap of the last race. That would have put Shimoda on the box and Mosman on the box and Shock in fourth overall. And Shock ducked Mosman was on the outside and Shock got him, got some drive and pushed Mosman where he couldn't do anything and then took it. And that funny how that fourth overall goes to second overall, just like that last turn of the race. But good job for Cody Shock and the club team. JT, did you think that Cody had gotten a podium before?
I wasn't sure. I was very curious about the jumping onto the track thing, though, because this is what Vial got penalized for last year, and nothing in this circumstance. So I don't know the letter of the rule. Start there. But Vial definitely got penalized for using a jump to re-enter by mm-hmm. doubling.
Yep.
And Chalk did the exact same thing, and nothing happened. So,
yeah.
I don't want to take anything away from Cody Shock. He rode on that front.
Yeah. Yeah, it was aggressive. I agree.
But that's I remember like them saying Vial used the jump, which is not safely re-entering.
Mm-hmm.
And this felt eerily similar. That's all.
Weege, I thought Shock had made a podium last year. I thought he got third. I know he won some heat races, but that was his first podium. Didn't know that.
Well, this is why real journalists attend press day and interview riders.
Okay.
There's a little show called The Weed Show.
Mm-hmm.
About 50,000 views strong. Interviewing Cody Shock on Friday, saying his career best is the fourth, and his goal is podium. So
he had it at Birmingham. He didn't.
Yeah. Yes, he did. But this is just, Steve, this is what real journalists do.
Okay. Noted. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why this, yep. this journalist mm-hmm. will be at press day in Daytona.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's, you know, asking for a friend, maybe you could do a show similar to Weed Show.
Well,
help a brother out, maybe, if you're going
to
be there.
As long as you remind me to turn the phone sideways.
I come to you hat in hand.
Right. Mosman, Michael Mosman's back. He's back. He rode really well, 3-2-7. He qualified well, third overall, and yep. Can you tell me if Michael Mosman's going to do that again at Indy? I'd say sure. Yeah, he could do that at a showdown. He rode really well.
I couldn't tell you the first thing about what Michael Mosman's going to do.
I know. It's just, well, I mean, look, he did come into the series injured. He wasn't quite ready. He did come in injured, but yeah, good job for Mosman. That's his first podium. I don't even know when. Did you, Jerky, say anything on the broadcast? 2 years?
We had said his last win was 2022. I don't remember podium.
Probably same year, right? Was that the Hunter
maybe.
Year? Yeah. Shimoda was better. Finger issue. Didn't ride. Rode twice, but otherwise didn't ride since the break. And 5-5-3. Joe got was in the lead in the first one. He went down the sand, I think. And yeah, Joe rode pretty well. 5-5-3. So
he rode really good in the last one.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He came. He kind of did what Anderson did in the last one, where you didn't notice him until all of a sudden you're like, oh, shit, you know? Marchbanks fifth. That was his best ride of the year. 7-3-5 for Garrett. At least he was in the fight.
Do you know his shoulder was that bad?
What's that?
Do you know his shoulder was that bad?
Well, Mitch told me it was fine.
Oh, man.
I said, how's the shoulder? And Mitch is like, yeah, we're good.
Broken part of the socket and 3 tears in the labrum?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't know that. But
it doesn't. Yeah, I didn't either. And so we have this, like, downtime, you know, like mm-hmm. we're waiting around on the podium. And I'm like, yeah, start, man. Like, the start is so important for you, which is not breaking news. He's like, yeah, my shoulder's garbage. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, then he goes into this whole thing about it. I'm like, you have to say this on air. You know that. I don't think anybody knows that. Like, you have to tell people because that is insane.
But I said to Mitch, I'm like, how's this shoulder? How's his shoulder? And Mitch is like, yeah, it's fine.
Well, you understand what he said
yes.
on the podium,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it
yeah.
sounds far from fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Once again, he did tell a bunch of the press day. Glendale, it's a real journalist, too.
Okay. All right. Bomer sixth. Cole Davies, 4:17.1. He was helped to the ground in the second one in the first turn. And then.
Gosh, what was Cole Thompson doing?
I don't know, man. Yep, nobody knows.
Not okay.
No, that's what Cole does. That's why he's got no friends.
Yeah. I don't know Cole like you do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know I have heard this. I watched it right there and I was like, dude,
yeah,
what are you doing?
I don't know, man. He does that to guys and everyone's like, what, WTF?
Yeah, that was not it.
But Davies rode really well. Yeah, 4.17.1. Yeah, and he qualified. He's felt dangerous. He had his hat on.
Yeah.
He had his sombrero on or whatever.
He is really coming around, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so here for it.
Yeah.
I'm so here for it.
Yeah. No, me too. Kid's great. Weege Enzo Lopes had his best ride since coming back. 9.68. Qualified well as also Phil was there to guide him. So Enzo Lopes, 8th overall. It's a good job.
Yeah, it's going to lead to our conversation about our Friday night dinner, which we'll get to, I'm sure, before the end of this episode. I thought that's why. And then I saw Phil this morning on the flight. And I was like, so how did Enzo do? You there for Enzo? He's like, I went over and said hi. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, no, I was there to hang out with Thomas. And I'm like, really?
Oh.
Okay.
I thought he was there for Enzo, too. Yeah, I thought he was there.
Me too.
Yeah, just, okay.
Aren't the two races that Phil went to the two races that Enzo raced?
Yes.
Said we're good, and I said hi. No, man.
Lux Turner was like top five for a while. He's been a real eye opener for those guys at AEO. Good job, Lux Turner. 9th overall.
Yeah, he's a good rider.
Jet Reynolds 10th. Good job.
You know what sister's like as well.
Oh yeah, no, she was interviewed on the broadcast or on the Jumbotron. I should say on the broadcast. On the
okay.
All right, and Hunter Yoder, Dylan Walsh, Parker Roth, Dylan Schwartz was back. I guess he's been hurt. I didn't know who 44 was for a while. Had to look that up. So Dylan Schwartz came back. Thury was out there. I couldn't tell you anything about that. Gavin Towers. Good battle in the LCQ with Towers and Albright. And who didn't get in? That was good, though. That LCQ battle.
It was good. Darn it. Yeah, it was so good.
It was... Four guys battling for the
Derek Kelly, Towers, and Parker Ross. Yeah.
Parker Ross, who fell and got back in.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Towers saved it three times in the whoops.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, my God, right? Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
But
that was insane.
JT, let me ask you this. Kelly, was that as far as Kelly could go in that corner, or was he too nice? Because he had every chance to just destroy Towers. Or is he not close enough?
No, he could have. I mean, it's gonna be full contact going down type thing. But I mean, it's the LCQ, so all bets are off.
You're right. He could have been a little greasy. Now that I think about it,
I was surprised. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What was I going to talk to you? I forget. I had something on my mind to ask you guys. Yes, Gavin Towers, Avery Long, TJ Albright got into the LCQ. Varese has got in the LCQ, I think, every race. 250 West, every race. Varese makes it through the LCQ. And then Anton Nordstrom, I picked him in fantasy. I doubt you guys know anything about him, but my friend Lewis Phillips told me to pick him. He's a Swedish supercross guy. So, of course, I mean, you look at Freddie Norrin, right? I mean, Freddie was back this week, by the way. He didn't make it. And then I picked Anton Nordstrom. He didn't do that well. I know nothing about him. So, okay.
But he made the main on lap time?
Nordstrom did, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like 13th or 14th. Yeah, legit.
I was like, what is this?
Yeah. Who knew? The long line of Swedish supercar specialists, you know.
Yeah, this doesn't exist. Like, when you said that before, I was like, that's not a thing.
Well, my friend Lewis told me to pick him.
Was our friend Michael Antonovich happy about this?
Why?
Anton. He got an Anton in the main.
Oh, yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah, Anton. Yeah, never thought of that, right? All right. Anything else for 250s? Bad deal for Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. I think he'll be back relatively quick.
Yeah, you hope so, right? All right. Damn it. I had something I was going to talk to you guys about, and I can't even remember. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Friday night dinner?
Davies. No, I don't care. No. Yeah, Friday night dinner was fun. Weege, you're such a disaster, though. You are such a disaster in your life. It's amazing that you pull it all together. Like,
what?
All week, I said, we're going to this place at 6 o'clock. I put the reservation in the group text once I confirmed that you go. Justin Brayton's in this group text and doesn't say a word. So, I assume Brayton's not coming. And then the reservation is for 6, as you know. JT is in the same TV meetings you are. Shows up on time at the place. Then you're
furious. No, I was with Weech.
He was in the car with me, idiot.
You were?
Did
you sit down before?
We walked in together.
We were in the same car.
Okay, my bad. It seemed like JT was sitting down before you.
This is like the double zooms with Jet that didn't happen.
Okay.
We were in the same car.
Okay, fine. But you're texting me, where is this place? Well, on Wednesday I sent you, it was 6:10. You're like, I'm like, the reservation was for 6.
Well, we did get out late. Like, there was nothing we could do about that. We left as soon as we possibly could.
Okay.
Yeah, there was no,
I will
there
back
was nothing.
On that. I mean, maybe 3 or 4 minutes because Weech had to get Brayton.
And then you're like, can Brayton, is there room for Brayton? Well, why didn't Brayton or somebody say something on Wednesday? So then it's just like it was all, everything was planned out. Everything was good. And then you just dropped a bomb in there.
It was great.
And then you started saying are there 2 locations? No, there's not 2 locations.
You kept giving me this link. The link that you sent, every time I tap on the link, it would send you the franchise and it would show you 3 different things.
There are more than one location.
Yes. And everything you sent me, when I hit that, all it does is bring me to a website for the franchise. That's all it brought me to. Nothing about reservations.
Yeah, and then you just had to hit. Then you just had to hit the Fort Worth one. There was Houston and Fort Worth.
There were 2 places.
Yeah, Houston.
And then there was 2 names in Fort Worth, but you were correct, actually, when I saw the fine print. I'm like, oh, 2 locations, same address.
Same address.
I did not. I should have. Okay.
Okay.
There's one thing I'm guilty of. I did not notice that 2 names actually had the same address, same town, which is odd.
It was great dinner anyways, even though you were late.
Was there room for Brayton
or no? We had to shuffle. Well, there actually wasn't. Thomas sent his wife and daughter-in-law to the bar.
Oh, that's why that happened?
Yeah, to fit us in.
That's why that happened.
Now, in their defense, his wife said, you guys are just going to talk about dirt bikes anyways. So
we still would have been 1 short.
Well, there's only room for one of them, yeah.
Well, that's not going to work.
No, but I'm saying that there was 2 of them. And
you subtracted 2 and added 1.
Yeah, I'm saying they had to subtract the 2 to get us in.
Yeah, because he's not going to kick out one family member.
Right.
He's not going to kick out one family member. He's going to kick out the daughter and the wife, not my daughter stays and my wife leaves. Yeah.
So anyway, it's fine. I mean, like she said, she was right. We were just going to talk about motocross, so they went and ate in the thing. But the best part was Phil. Yeah, we just made fun of Phil, talked about Phil, and we were all just in amazement. Phil said he wouldn't go to Paris Supercross for $10,000, and we all just couldn't believe it. And then he said, but Coop gets $100,000. But, like, how is that even a defense?
It's not. It's not.
That's like, hey, Steve, we're going to pay you $1,000 for this job. Yeah, but Elon gets $1,000,000 for a smart car. Or what? I mean, it's the same. How is that defensible by Phil?
It's not.
Okay. That was my favorite.
That dinner was amazing, though. Like, seriously.
It was so fun.
If you live in Texas, go to it's B&B Butchers. That place is amazing.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and then Thomas's son works there, and we couldn't decide what to order, so they brought us a little bit of, like, every cut they have from rib caps to Wagyu to yeah. Really good. Really good. And then all the side dishes. Fantastic. And our best part was our friend, my dear friend Thomas, paid for it. That was the best part.
He did.
Weech?
It was the best part. It was. bringing Brayton with me was right up there, but Thomas paying was the best part.
Yeah. And then making fun of Phil was maybe third best?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So
Phil's stories are just incredible.
Yeah, they're great. Awesome. Well, good times. To Texas, and we're going to Daytona. Thanks to Frank. Thank you, Frank.
Best race of the year.
Great race. Love it.
Wow.
Weege, you turned down the live announcing gig. How many years is the streak over at? What are we thinking?
08 through last year. In London, that's because I did TV. So, oh, I mean, you could consider that announcing still.
Yeah.
So 08 through 24.
Wow.
And it's over.
What a run. What a run.
That's, I don't even really want to talk about it. It's really, 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 really hurts. To the point where I hope they're not scrambling. I sent an email and just said, I'm not going to be able to make it. You should use Wes Kane again. He did a great job last year. And I honestly haven't even looked to see the reply. It just hurts me so much.
This was another shocking moment when we learned you turned down a paying gig.
I did.
Yeah.
But I got 4 weekends. Don't have Feld. I'm not on Feld's calendar.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to take those 4 weekends. You know, I'm free to just call Daytona and be like, can I work for you guys this weekend? I could have done it. They asked me. And I just, I'm
not
going
to do
it.
Get for them to do the live event after doing, like, you're a big get. So I'm sure they're not.
Well, I don't even know if they even look at it that way. It's just, it had gone well for 15 years or whatever. But it was more about.
You do a great job. Let's start. That goes without saying.
I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah. So I appreciate, I didn't work for them last year and they were immediately like, if you ever want to come back, just let us know. And I'm like, well, I'm not on doing TV this year, but these couple weekends I get, they're pretty valuable. And I'm trying to think big picture that where the money I turned down, and it's not as much as I make when working for Feld. So I'm like, if I'm going to skip one and stay home, the way my schedule works, I get probably one out of every 6 weeks off. It's kind of nice. It kills me, though.
Can you imagine the quality of announcing from the afternoon guy at Daytona to Wygant stepping up to the mic? Just that's the people in the speedway are probably,
you know,
like, holy shit.
It's not
shit.
Even the paycheck. I love going to these races. I've told JT a million times. If I didn't have kids, I'd go to 52 races a year. I'd be just like JT. It's not even money. I don't want to not go to the Daytona Supercross. It is awesome. But I got
to have responsibilities at home.
I'm going to
very understandable.
I'm going to about 93% of the races, so I'm doing all I can.
I'm going.
Most people could never, ever, ever imagine traveling as much as you do already. Like, never in a million years could they ever.
Or any of us. Any of us.
Yeah, they could never imagine doing that.
Bro, I landed at this airport at 7 a.m. this morning, and at 7 p.m., I'm back at this airport to fly to Steve's house. Like, that is not something most people do.
Listen.
But this is what, we've all done this stuff. We've all done this. It's normal.
I went to more races than Weege last year. Maybe not.
It's not a contest, Steve. It's
maybe not.
Is that true?
I feel like I went to more Supercrosses, but then you went, obviously, I missed four outdoors, so.
Yeah, I think I missed four total, so similar.
Yeah.
Someday, 10 years out, once kids are in college or beyond that, I'm doing it all.
This is my last year.
31. I mean, I'm going to every. I will see.
International.
Can I get to 50? Can you do 50? Like, is there 50?
Yeah.
What do you think, JT? Are there 50 weekends that exist?
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure you could. Yeah, you're going to get obscure stuff, but there definitely is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas and New Year's is probably, that's about it.
It's my last year, so.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We're on to Daytona. Can't wait. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, JB. It's going to be a great race. I'll be there press day also, grinding in the trenches like real media. So, looking forward to that. Again, thank you to Fly Racing and Max's Tires. Also, Renthal, of course, Onyx Maps. And Jerry Limburger as well. Get Bam Land. Do that, people. JT, Weege, thanks, boys.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change a thing.